B-Pod Studios.
Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go to a Hall of Famer. We got to go to the first ever Sixth Man of the Year award winner. We got to go to the man that has inspired so many. Also, a guy that Charles Barkley said this about him. He said, if the world was made up of Bobby Joneses, we'd be in a much better place. There'd be no problems. That's a quote from Charles Barkley on our next guest, Bobby Jones, joining us right now. Bobby Jones, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be with you. Thank you.
It's our honor to have you on with us. First and foremost, what are you up to these days?
Well, just taking care of my family and myself, just trying to stay healthy, and got 8 grandkids, so doing a lot of activities with them.
That's awesome. Now, I want to fast forward to before we talk about some of the playing days you got to experience. There was a story that I just couldn't get enough of, and Joel Embiid called you to wear the number 24 in honor of Kobe Bryant. But obviously, that's your number. That's Bobby Jones's number. What was that conversation like?
He was a really nice guy, very, very humble, you know, just was very considerate about, you know, not wanting to offend me or to just ask my permission. And, you know, I said that was fine. Kobe was a great player. I played with his dad with the Sixers. There's a great connection there.
And you told, from according to Joel Embiid, you had told him he just better play good defense.
I did tell him that. And he can do that. Yes.
Now, another interesting tie-in from when you were playing to today was that you had an interesting career in that you made an All-Star 3 times, All-Star team 3 times when you were with the Denver Nuggets. Then you got traded, and you came to the Sixers, and you made another All-Star team, and they're like, "That's great. Now you're going to come off the bench for us." Like, how did you wrap your mind around first being traded after being a 3-time All-Star and then making another All-Star team and then coming off the bench for that team?
Well, you know, the year that I made the All-Star team with the Sixers, I was coming off the bench. So I was voted onto the team by the coaches as a non-starter for the All-Star game. But that was one of my greatest honors, I felt like, because I was only the second player to not start for his team. Besides Paul Silas and the Celtics in the 60s to make an All-Star team. So it was a great honor. I felt, you know, I love coming off the bench. You know, you get a chance to study your opponent, see what they're doing. The intensity level for me could go up because I know my minutes are not going to be, I'm not going to be dragging on for 48 minutes. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be in and out. I'm going to be doing what I can energetically to pump my team up on both ends of the floor. So, you know, it suited me really well. I'm not a one-on-one player. I like the fast break. I like to run. I like to get back on defense. And those things take energy. So that was good for me.
Speaking with Bobby Jones, this Sixers team is going to go through a transition here after the layoff when they start up in Orlando again. There's 8 games, then the playoffs. And a guy like Al Horford, just to use him as an example, might have to change to be more of a bench player than he thought he was signing on to this team to be. What would you tell a player, any player, that might not be playing the game the way they think they should, but playing in a way that would benefit the team the most?
Well, I would just say, you know, put your ego aside and just understand that you sign a contract to play for a team, not to play for yourself, and you're really looking to have the team success to be in the forefront of what you do. And I learned that in North Carolina under Dean Smith, and he had a little sign in the locker room that you walk by every day: "United we stand, divided we fall." And you know, he taught that, you know, whatever you can do to help the team, you do it. And you know, a guy like Al Horford, who to me is a great player, just a true professional in every sense. I don't think we'll have any problem if that's the case for him to do that.
Bobby, a lot of our listeners for the first time got a look at what basketball was like back in the 80s when the Jordan documentary came out recently. And we've had a lot of discussions here on the show with our listeners. What kind of basketball do you like better? The one played back in the 80s, the physical type that you went through in the NBA, or the one now that's so three-point dominant? Do you see the big difference, and do you like the game maybe more or less than the way it's played now?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Well, it is very different. I can't say that I like it better. I enjoyed the way we played. I like, you know, the contact. You've got to have contact. I think the intensity level is better when guys aren't just pulling up from 35 feet and there's no contact. There's really no effort to get a shot off. I mean, what amazes me about players today is that, you know, anybody can play 15 years because you're just walking the ball up the court and you're not rubbing off picks, you're not getting hurt, you're not getting bumped. And so, you know, I do prefer the old style where there is, it's a little bit more, I'd say, intense.
Bobby, could that old style win today? Because if there's a team in the NBA built to play that old style, it's the current 76ers.
Yes, I think it can win. I think officiating has a part to do with that, but I think I remember the old Celtics when we would play them. Their philosophy seemed to always be, well, let us get in about 10 fouls in the first quarter, and then the referees won't call anything else after that, and that sort of was the case. So once you establish how you're going to play, a referee is not going to call 35-40 fouls. All the time, so they're going to start letting some things go, and when that happens, a physicality type of game can be more dominant.
Bobby, this is D-Line. I'm nice to hear you, and I'm glad your family's healthy and doing well. I'm curious, because when we were watching and you talk about setting a tone with those fouls, I often feel like because that isn't how the game is played, these guys can't play that way. You talked about even setting picks. I don't think people even hold their screens and picks. Like, does it go back to even maybe young age coaching if, in fact, you did want to play more of a toughness style of basketball?
Well, Dave, that is true. You do have to learn that early. You have to have a system in place. And you know, we're getting a lot of guys from Europe who are good players, but they're most of them are really, really good shooters, defensive wise, setting picks, those kind of things. Not many people do that, and it is something that needs to be taken seriously, I think, for this game to succeed, in coming years.
Speaking with Bobby Jones, what could you imagine playing in this startup after a layoff like this? I know you said you're trying to stay healthy and hang with the family and all that. What would it take for you to get back on a court in a pandemic right now if you were playing today?
Well, you know, that's a tough call. I think it is a tough situation for these guys. They've got family concerns. You know, you hear so many things about COVID that, what's true, what's not. You know, the mortality rate is dropping, but you know, for some people, you know, there's still fatalities. And there's long-term effects in some people. Some people, it doesn't bother them at all. So, and I think there's a real caution that has to take place before I would go out there to think about, you know, contacting somebody and playing the kind of game we play. If you're not guarding, but if you're 5 feet from everybody, then it's okay. But that's not the way we played back then.
Bobby, this is Crystal Ridge from NBC Sports Philadelphia today, filling in on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm just interested in bridging the gap between the young children and teenagers and young adults who were learning about 80s basketball through the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary to present day. And with the seeding, when the Sixers go into the playoffs, my hope is that they actually play Boston in the first round opposed to a Miami. And I just kind of want you to speak about your take on Boston to this day. It was obviously a rivalry now and a rivalry back then. Do you still feel a same level of passion when you watch the Sixers and they're playing the Celtics?
First of all, yes, I do. I don't like the Celtics very much. I'm not a fan. And yeah, I think that you know, both are very large cities, both eastern East Coast cities that really dominate our nation in many ways. And you know, I think that's reflected in the sports teams and the passion that the fans have for their teams. So you know, I would hope that they would play Boston also. I like to see them knock them off, and I think they'd match up well against them.
All right, Bobby, it's easy for anybody to ask you, of all the great players you went against, and you were so versatile defensively, who was the hardest to cover? I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to ask you, what great player, if you're playing defense, do you want to cover and you think you're going to have success against if they're getting the last shot of the game?
That's a really – you're talking about back in my day?
Yes, back in your day.
Oh, man, I don't know. There were some really great scores back then. I don't – you know, my philosophy was always never I wanted to stop the guy, but I knew that I couldn't always stop the person. I would just want to make it difficult for them to get a tough shot. And, you know, I felt like I could do that against guys who were good mid-range shooters, like a guy like Larry Bird. He couldn't drive by me. He just wasn't quick enough, but he had that great fadeaway shot that was difficult, but I could get my long arm up there and I could bother him. So, you know, I like my chances against that situation.
Exactly the person I wanted you to say, because I grew up with you guys. That was my, you know, that was my heyday of watching basketball as a teenager. And you on Larry Bird always gave me comfort knowing you could stop him a little bit.
James Worthy would have probably been another one, right, Bobby?
Yeah, James was another one. Yeah, James had those big hands.
Yep.
He could go by. So, yeah, he was a danger. Yeah.
Bobby, what do you like from this Sixers team? I mean, obviously, you have the playoffs coming up here, the 8 games and then the playoffs. What do you like about this team right now?
Well, I think, you know, Simmons, if he's healthy, you know, he can do so much as far as making his teammates better. And that's, you know, I compare him a little bit to Julius Erving back in my day. Julius was a guy that he made me better. He made everybody else better because he'd look for you. You know, he'd help you on defense, and I think Simmons does the same thing. So that's, I'm looking for him to take a leadership role on this team and to dominate. And then also, I think Embiid also, the intensity level just needs to go up and just, you know, play through whatever pain or whatever frustrations you've got and mentally focus on one goal, and that's to defeat the team you're playing.
Bobby, just interested to get your take on Matisse Thybulle, who is obviously in his rookie year and is going through a heck of a time in a small apartment, but he is a pretty good defensive player. He's a deflection machine. What are your thoughts on him as being someone so great on defense?
I like him a lot. I've seen him play, and he's a disruptor, and that's when you're playing against a team and you got a guy like that who disrupts what you want to do, it really kind of throws the whole team off because you don't know where he's going to be and what he's going to do. And those kind of guys are really dangerous to not only to stop any momentum that the other team may have, but to give your team that boost that it really needs at some point.
Bobby, I have one quick question because we've been talking about Philadelphia wanting a championship out of going through the process. And, you know, the Sixers back in your day got there, and didn't win. And then, obviously, the addition of Moses Malone is huge, and you do win. But what is that intangible that takes a team that is talented enough to be in the finals to then actually winning the finals?
Well, I think the intangible is chemistry. You know, we had those really good teams. The Sixers got to 3 finals before they finally won one. And I think it's really, you've got to get the right mix of players who not only care about each other, but care about the number one thing, and that's not their scoring average, not their rebounding average or steals. It's what can they do to win the game. And, you know, that's the Sixers' challenge. They've got to find the 12 guys that they can put on a team that are coming together as one, that aren't looking just to tweet out something after a game or whatever for their own sake. They want unity in their team. And I think that for the Sixers in 1983 was the biggest thing. We knew that with Moses on our team, there were no more excuses. And I think for this team now, that's the same case. There are no more excuses. You've got talent. You've got to go out and show it.
Bobby Jones, on a personal note, I thank you very much for being such a great team player and agreeing to come off the bench. If you didn't, my dad would never know the name Mark Ivoroni and then name me Mark. So I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bobby.
Bobby Jones joining us right there. Really appreciate him coming on with us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.